Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat Podcast. We like to get right into it, and what we're going to get into today is a pretty serious topic. Might call it the darkest day yet under President Joe Biden. The specter of recession and war settled over Washington on Thursday, on top of inflation that has already cut into American standard of living, already increased their worries about the future. Inflation, recession, war, it was a very bad day. Really one of the most worrisome and concerning in the presidency of Biden so far. Now, the recession specter, not actually here, but the specter was created by news that the economy shrank at an annual rate of 1.4% in the first quarter of 2022. Many experts professed to be surprised by this. There had actually been predictions that the economy would grow by perhaps a percentage point. So I'll read you something from CNBC, the business network. Quote, gross domestic product unexpectedly declined at a 1.4% annualized pace in the first quarter, the worst since the pandemic-induced recession in 2020. The negative growth rate missed even the subdued Dow Jones estimate of a 1% gain for the quarter. So anyway, you had a lot of people expecting a gain in GDP, and in fact, GDP shrank at an annual rate of 1.4% first quarter of 2022. Obviously, if you have two such quarters consecutively, you've got a recession. So how does President Biden react? First of all, in the course of a single sentence, he tried to suggest that the drop in GDP was the result of, quote, technical factors, while at the same time blaming events all around the world, and most importantly, not himself. Okay, so he gives his statement, and he says, while last quarter's growth estimate was affected by technical factors, the United States confronts the challenges of COVID-19 around the world, Putin's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, and global inflation from a position of strength. Kind of a complex sentence, but the United States is confronting these things from a position of strength, and it's all external stuff, COVID-19 around the world, it's Putin's invasion of Ukraine, and it's global inflation, not just here, global inflation. So later on in the day on Thursday, he's asked if he fears that a recession is on the way, and he just wanders all over the place. Quote, well, no, I'm not concerned about a recession. I mean, you're always concerned about a recession, but the GDP, you know, fell to 1.4%. But here's the deal. You know, he's kind of getting his feet under him when he says, here's the deal. But here's the deal. We've also had last quarter consumer spending and business investment and residential investment increased at significant rates, both for leisure as well as hard products, number one. Number two is still Biden talking. Unemployment is the lowest rate since 1970. So I think what you're seeing is enormous growth in the country. Somehow the GDP managed to shrink by 1%, 1.4%. But what you're seeing is enormous growth in the country that was affected by everything from COVID and the COVID blockages that occurred along the way. Now you always have to be taking a look. And no one is predicting a recession now. They're predicting, or some are predicting, there may be a recession in 2023. I'm concerned about it. Wow. So what was that? He said, no, he's not worried about a recession. Two, there's enormous growth in the country, even though the economy actually shrank. And three, nobody's predicting a recession now. They're predicting a recession for next year. And he is concerned about that. So I don't know. You can be reassured by that, I guess, if you want. But I really don't think it was terribly reassuring. Now, he gave his prescription for what to do about all this, all of these problems. The real answer to the nation's economic problems, he said, is for Republicans on Capitol Hill to support raising taxes on rich corporations. Okay? That's what you got to do. That's how to get out of this big mess, is you raise taxes on rich corporations. Now, of course, he's also asking Congress to pass another one of these giant spending measures that have contributed to inflation, which is in turn contributing to recession fears. Okay, the question now is whether the factors that shrank the economy in the first quarter of this year will continue through the second quarter of this year, creating a recession two quarters in a row. Businesses now, at the end of 2021, businesses built up inventories in the last quarter, 2021, expecting, correctly, huge increase in demand. But then they pulled back in the first quarter. That contributed to the economy shrinking. Maybe that'll change. Exports declined. Maybe that'll change too. Now, consumer demand does remain strong. Now, what about presidential leadership? I think it's fair to say that while Biden seems committed to spending levels that feed inflation, he also seems a little confused about what to expect or what to do. So that was the economic part of the bad news on Thursday. The news that the economy actually, the GDP actually shrank by 1.4% on an annual basis in the first quarter of 2022. Now, I talked about fears of a recession, the specter of a recession, and war. So on the war front, Biden wants a huge increase in the U.S. support of Ukraine. He sent Congress a request for $33 billion more on top of the $13.6 billion that lawmakers approved last month. Now, this is a big deal. And, you know, sometimes I don't read approvingly from the New York Times, but I think this is a pretty good description. Here is how the New York Times reported Biden's request. Quote, President Biden signaled a vast increase in America's commitment to defeating Russia in Ukraine as he asked Congress to authorize $33 billion for more artillery, anti-tank weapons, and other hardware, as well as economic and humanitarian aid. The request represented an extraordinary escalation in America's investment in the war, more than tripling the total emergency expenditures and putting the United States on track to spend as much this year helping the Ukrainians as it did on average each year fighting its own war in Afghanistan, or more. An extraordinary escalation. I think that's correct. An extraordinary escalation. Now, the level of American aid, if this is approved by Congress, has spurred a lot of concerns, and I'm going to discuss those next.
The economy actually got smaller in the first quarter of the year. Joe Biden's Department of Homeland Security is creating an Orwellian disinformation governance board, and talk of nukes in World War III is getting pretty common in Russia. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Join us. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I said I was going to discuss the concerns raised by the extraordinary escalation that President Biden wants in U.S. aid to Ukraine. And, you know, before I say that, I do want to say that if you've been listening to the podcast, if you've enjoyed it, hopefully if you learned something from it, it'd be great if you could subscribe to the podcast. You can do it at iTunes, anywhere you get your podcasts. Please subscribe. It'd be great. You'd like it. We'd like it. Thanks very much. So back to the no chit chat business here. This extraordinary escalation that Biden wants in U.S. aid to Ukraine, it has spurred concerns that the United States is depleting its own weapons resources to support the Ukrainian fight against Russia. Now, Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority Republican leader, came out on the floor of the Senate and said this shortly after Biden's request. He said, quote, after just 2 months, our aid to Ukraine has drawn down a quarter of our entire stockpile of Stinger anti-air missiles and a third of our Javelin anti-tank missiles. This would be less of a problem if we had a robust defense industrial base to quickly refill our armories. But defense manufacturers have admitted that the production lines for some critical components have dried up, and it could be years before they could replace the weapons we have sent to Ukraine. So we've seen reports about this, Mitch McConnell confirming it. A quarter of our entire stockpile of Stinger anti-air missiles, one third of our entire stockpile of Javelin anti-tank missiles sent to Ukraine, and you can't replace them tomorrow or the next day. It could take years to do that, given the fact that we don't really have a robust defense industrial base that McConnell referred to. So the fear is that the United States is sending away very large parts of its own arsenal, at the same time discovering how much, what you might call the burn rate of some of this, some of these weapons are in actual action in Ukraine. So finding that, you know, suggesting that in a future U.S. action, if we were to need these weapons, you might need even more than you think you do and have less than you should have because you sent them all to Ukraine. Now, Biden denied the charge that the war in Ukraine is now a proxy war with Russia fighting with its own troops, the United States fighting through the Ukrainians. But, you know, it's hard to see. I mean, I can understand Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, says this, and so the instinct is to say, no, that's wrong. But it's hard to see, given the levels of aid and involvement, how the United States' effort in Ukraine is not a proxy war. Indeed, that actually seems to be kind of given. New York Times' Ross Douthat observed last month, quote, President Biden's team seems to be following a Cold War playbook of cautious proxy war rather than embracing sweeping Bushian ambitions. So, well, it's a good thing he's not embracing sweeping Bushian ambitions, which led to disaster in Iraq, failure in Afghanistan. But he is embracing the playbook of cautious proxy war, and maybe now it's becoming less cautious, which is something to worry about. So that was the day. That was the day on Thursday, one of the more worrisome days that we've had. The word that the economy shrank, GDP shrank in the first quarter of 2022, and President Biden's request for $33 billion in new aid to Ukraine. So given these developments in the economy and in Ukraine, it was a pretty sobering day. And yet much, if you watched and listened and read, much of the conversation among elite press outlets has been obsessed with two other topics. Now, the first topic is Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, who was recorded telling colleagues in the days after the Capitol riot that if he were to talk to then-President Trump, he would recommend that Trump resign. Now, in the end, McCarthy never made the recommendation, and he later denied, falsely, that he had said that to his colleagues. So that's one story that's gotten just tremendous attention and discussion. And two, the second story is the upcoming White House Correspondents Association dinner, which is the first to take place in its full glory with an in-person crowd, the president attending, since the what you might call the twin scourges of COVID and Donald Trump. That is, they haven't actually had the dinner because of COVID in the last couple of years. And then before that, Trump stopped going to the dinner, and the dinner became kind of a resistance event. But it didn't have the sort of power and the glamour of having a president actually attend himself. So given these developments in the economy and Ukraine, a lot of the press is actually obsessed with January 6th and a big black tie dinner that's coming up. Just to give you an example, the subject line of Politico's very influential Playbook newsletter on Friday, as this is after all these grim developments we've been talking about, the subject line was, how to do White House Correspondents Dinner Weekend like a pro. Okay, that was the subject line on Playbook on Friday. Now, what about Thursday? The subject line of Playbook on Thursday was, Inside Biden's White House Correspondents Dinner Speech. That's Thursday and Friday. What about Wednesday? The subject line on Wednesday was, Fauci pulls out of White House Correspondents Dinner. Is Biden next? Okay, so actually, Biden did not pull out of the dinner, although apparently he's going to only attend for part of it in hopes of not contracting COVID there. So the hype and the frothiness of all this seemed a strange contrast to the seriousness of the events that we've been discussing. On the one hand, recession and war. And on the second hand, Kevin McCarthy's speech, his phone call, and the big dinner, and all of the associated events with the big dinner. So the hype, this frothiness, this contrast with the seriousness, the gravity of events going on all around. But that is the reality of Washington at the moment. So I wanted to talk to you just about this contrast and also about the real seriousness of what we saw on Thursday. Get you to think about it, probably get you to worry about it because it's pretty worrisome. But wanted to talk about that and really glad that you could join us. Glad you could join us to discuss these topics. And I hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.